The topic of faith, belief, and doubt. That's what we're going to be talking about today. And in concocting this sermon, I invented a new piece of technology. It is called the Beliefometer. And what this amazing, highly sophisticated piece of technology does, it determines how much you believe. How much you believe of biblical truth. Okay, it's not concerned with whether you believe Chelsea are better than Tottenham, because everybody knows that's just rubbish. But it's talking about biblical truth, okay? And so this reading here is 100% belief. No doubt whatsoever, 100% belief. And this is in a situation where it's kind of 50% belief and 50% doubt, okay? And it also works if there's no belief at all and there's just total doubt. So that's how the Beliefometer works. Everybody understand that? You can reckon you can handle this very sophisticated, complicated piece of equipment. Yes. Okay, good. So we're going to be talking about the Beliefometer. So we think, if you ask most people, what does God require? They may say, well, 100% belief. That is what God requires of his followers. But is that necessarily the case? And that's what we're going to try and answer today. I'll try and help. So, what's your actual Beliefometer reading? Okay? Because, if I brought this really expensive bit of equipment to you right now, plugged you in, stuck it in your veins, and stuck it in your heart and your brain, what would be your reading? Actually, would it be like that? You think, well, I believe a lot, and I've got a little bit of doubt. Or would it be more like, well, you know, I'm kind of 50-50? Or would it be, actually, I'm mostly doubt, and I believe just a little bit? And there's all kinds of reasons why each one of us will be any one of these particular people. Some of it's based on how much we know, some of it's based on our upbringing, some of it's based on our own character. You can have two people know exactly the same stuff, but one will doubt more than the other just because that's how they're made. Some people doubt more than others. Some of us have more accused consciences than others. So we kind of doubt, and these things weigh heavily on our mind, and our mind gets fuddled and foggy a lot more than other people who seem to be able just to be very clear about everything. Or you may be like me, in which case this covers the entire spectrum of one day of my life, okay? Amen. We're all on a different spectrum, okay? So we're going to examine this. Sometimes we can feel like as people of faith, we should believe and that should just be it. I think if we're really honest, maybe that's true for some of us, it's not true for me. I the days when I totally and utterly believe are few and far between, to be honest. And some of us handle our doubts in different ways. Some of us are able to handle doubts just as a matter of fact, and it doesn't really affect us. Others' doubts could really cripple us. So even the fact we do believe, the fact that we doubt is such a horrible, scary, frightening thing that it really can dominate our life. You with me on that? So we're going to talk about a little bit and see what the Bible has to say about this kind of topic. So we begin in Matthew 17. Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." This is a very common scripture quoted about faith, the faith to move a mountain. Okay. There is a mustard seed on a thumb, a tiny little thing. And for those of us who don't know, that is a mountain. Amen. That is the beautiful Matterhorn, looking very glorious and radiant. So we have the mustard seed and the mountain. And what Jesus is saying is, if you have faith just that big, the mountain will move. It's true. Okay, let's think about that a little bit. That isn't my experience. I've not seen mountains moving. And imagine if it was completely and utterly true and all it took was a small amount of faith to move a mountain, and everybody who had faith was able to move mountains. What geologically cataclysmic that would be. Yes, you wouldn't. You want to go on skiing holiday? You just need to move the mountain to you. And then people be fighting over the mountain. It'd be a chaotic thing. So is that really what Jesus is talking about? I think he's using an idea called hyperbole. And Jesus often uses this. He's comparing a seed, a really small thing, with a mountain, a really big thing. And oftentimes when he's talking about a really small thing and a really big thing, he's using hyperbole to really hammer home his point. And the thing about hyperbole is it's an exaggerated statement not meant to be taken literally. Okay, that's what hyperbole is. But he's still trying to teach us something. So in English, the word is translated faith there. In Greek, the original language, it's the word pistis. And the word pistis has its root in persuasion, being persuaded about something. And it could be translated assurance, belief, or faith. So really, another way you could write this, Jesus is saying, is if you have belief as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move. So we'll apply the belief-o-meter to what Jesus is saying. And this is what we'd get. If you have belief, like just one pixel's worth, yeah, of belief, that's enough. That's not a problem to Jesus. A tiny amount of belief, a small amount of belief. And look what happens with that small amount of belief. If it's acted upon, you can't just imagine it in your head or have a fuzzy feeling. You have to go to the mountain and speak. You have to do something. If it's acted upon, it unleashes the power of God. That is an amazing thing. So that's one teaching of Jesus about faith, belief, and doubt. Let's look at another one in Mark 11:23. This is a kind of a parallel kind of a passage. It's could well be Mark's version of the same or a similar talk from Jesus. Jesus speaking, "Truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes that what they will say will happen, it will be done for them." Okay, so this one's now talking, it's not talking about belief as much, it's introducing doubt. He does not doubt in their heart. So the previous passage was really focused on the mustard seed of faith. This one is focused on does not doubt in their heart. Again, the English word that's translated as doubt is the Greek word diakrino, which has, it's a lot more than just an intellectual doubt. It's got its root in withdrawing from, hesitating, being partial, staggering, waving around, this kind of general sense of uncertainty. That's really what it's talking about. Okay, the thing about this is, I doubt in my heart. Jesus saying you must not doubt in your heart and these things will happen, but I know I doubt in my heart. I remember as a young Christian really being like really troubled by what seems to be a very clear statement of Jesus that doubts are not allowed, and yet in my head and my heart there were quite a lot of doubts. Not just in my head, in my heart. You with me? So what's Jesus saying about this? Let's apply the belief-o-meter. This seems to be what Jesus seems to be saying is there can't be any doubt. There has to be belief, total belief. Let's look at an example. So this is in Mark 9. So a father with a son who's demon-possessed, who's really having a terrible life, brings the boy up to Jesus, and when the spirit in the boy saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. If you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for one who believes. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe! Help me overcome my unbelief! I really like this guy. He's telling Jesus the story, and he says, but if you can, if you can, if you can is very much different than, but you can, but you can do anything. Take pity on us and help us. It's quite a bit different than, but if you can, I like this guy. Jesus points that out. If you can, it'd be great if there's a recording of this and you can try and understand what was the tone in Jesus' voice. If you can, if you can, don't know. Everything is possible for the one who believes. Seems to be saying you just have to, just total belief. And the man he's now exposed. Before Jesus exposed his heart. And what's amazing, he just gets totally honest. He says, I do believe. I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. He's a man who was very aware of what he believed and what he doubted. The believometer for the boy's father may be something like that. Yeah? He did believe, but he did also doubt. Again, Jesus seems to be saying, you just have to believe. Well, let's read on. When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the impure spirit. You deaf and mute spirit, he said. I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. Okay, let's recap what Jesus had said earlier, a little bit later in Mark. Jesus says, he who does not doubt in their heart. That's what he said. The father said, I do believe, help me overcome my doubt. The father admitted he did doubt in his heart. But what did Jesus do? Yet Jesus acted as if the father had no doubt. And another thing to think about was, this man only partially believed. Was it only a partial miracle because the father only partially believed? The father very obviously said, I do believe, but I do have doubt. Let's summarize this in a table. Let's go back to our original three. Let's think about what Jesus is talking about. And we think about whether somebody acts on their belief or they act on their doubt. Do they follow what their belief says, or do they follow what their doubt says? So for the one who 99% believes, how would Jesus respond? With full power. He would have healed that boy completely. But then we go to the father who we think had half and half. How did Jesus react? How did he respond in that situation? Exactly the same. Full power. It wasn't, well, because you only 50% believe, I can do 50% of a miracle. I'm only going to heal half of him. No. That is not what Jesus did. And how about the one who believes with the size of a mustard seed? You get the full power. Yeah, as long as you act on your belief, you get the full power of God. Now, if you act on your doubt, even if you mostly believe, but you're following your doubt, you get nothing. If you're 50-50, but you follow your doubt, you get nothing. And if you 99% doubt, and you follow that doubt, you get nothing. This is the way God works. It's either full power or nothing, which is really interesting. So you think about why Jesus responded to the Father. The Father was acknowledging, I have both, but I am acting. I am acting on my faith. I do believe. I'm bringing my son to you. Can you heal him? That's acting on his faith. If he was acting on his doubt, he would have just been at home. Now, who's going to heal my son? He's never going to get any better. He acted on his faith, so the full power of God came to the fore. I find that really, really encouraging. Here's another example. This is talking about Peter and the incident on the boat. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and, beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me! Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You have little faith, he said. Why did you doubt? Okay, so let's apply the similar kind of thing to Peter. Let's give Peter a lot of credit. He was an apostle, after all, that he almost completely believed. And let's analyze what happened. Well, when he had his eyes on Jesus and obeyed what Jesus said, he was acting on his belief and he walked on the water. That's incredible. When he had his eyes on the wind, he became afraid. His doubts came to the fore and he acted on his doubt. He sank. So we can believe and doubt in one scenario. But it really just backs up this thinking that when we act on our belief, we get the full power of God. Now, and finally, it says, this is at the end of Matthew. So this is Jesus come to earth. We've had the whole nativity, Christmas story, all that amazing stuff. We've had Jesus as a boy in the temple. We've had Jesus beginning his ministry, calling the first disciples, doing miracles, gathering a crowd, appointing apostles, doing amazing things, feeding the 5,000, feeding the 4,000, raising people from the dead, healing the sick, giving sight to the blind, preaching to the crowds, getting opposition, getting betrayed, dying on the cross, the resurrection, coming back to life, and being seen by his apostles and other followers. All of that has happened, and now Jesus is about to go back to heaven. That's the kind of the backing to all of this. It says, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. You know, some of the apostles doubted. Let's just reflect on that for a moment, okay? They've literally been at everything. They didn't miss a meeting. They didn't miss a miracle. They didn't miss anything for 3 years. And they saw Jesus die on the cross. The video clip that Anne showed us, the apostles would have seen that. They saw Jesus die, and then they've seen him again alive. They've seen all of that, and yet some of them still doubted. They didn't have this 100% belief. They still doubted. So how did Jesus handle their doubts? He completely ignored them. He doesn't even reference it. He doesn't say, okay, you who doubt, See you later. Rest of you, therefore go. No, he spoke to the whole group. He treated them exactly the same. Jesus responded with in authority, with direction, with faith, with vision, with clarity. I found that amazing. Now, if their doubts weren't a problem to Jesus, are ours. You've got to think these 11 guys, that basically the hope of all humanity was now being passed on to these 11 guys. Jesus was going back. So the mission of Jesus, he'd handed the baton on. This is the baton handing on ceremony. And they were depending on what they did, would be whether anybody else got to hear about Jesus or not. Whether it just died that day on a hill in Galilee or went on to be a worldwide movement. And they doubted. But it was not a problem to Jesus. The reason being is he had trained them to act on belief, not on doubt. Acknowledge they had doubts, they had belief. He trained them to act on their belief. He had trained them to have faith. That's what faith is. Faith is when you act on biblical belief. I found this amazing. I found it very encouraging. So some conclusions. I think if you're honest, we all have a mixture of belief and doubt. Is there anybody here who has total belief? Anybody who has a mixture? Yeah? Anybody who doesn't believe in anything? Amen. The fact that you're here says something. Okay? We all have a mixture. That's not a problem to God. Sometimes we walk under this mistaken belief that I'm supposed to totally believe all of the time. And we cripple ourselves because we're scared our doubt is going to pop out and God's going to notice. And then we're going to be in big trouble. Actually, God sees it all of the time and the lightning bolts haven't come yet. Okay? It's not a problem to God. Faith is when we act on our belief. Now, it's difficult to act on belief when the doubt seems more real, doesn't it? That's a bit like Peter walking on the water. I'm walking on the water. This is really cool. Wait a minute. I'm walking on the water. And the wind and the waves and that. And then he started acting and the fear came. He acted on his doubt. It's hard. It's challenging when the doubt seems more real. But we can still choose to act on our belief, on biblical truth, on what we believe, and be faithful. Because that's what God's looking for. He's not looking for people who believe everything all of the time. He's looking for people who will choose to act on belief, even though they may be doubting a lot. That is what God is after. And the encouraging thing is that all of us can be faithful. Very few of us will believe everything all of the time. But we can choose to act on what we believe all of the time. Please train ourselves to. And everything in Scripture and the Holy Spirit and the church and everything in the life of everybody, and especially those who are disciples, everything he gives us is to help us get better at acting on belief. We have the Word of God to boost our knowledge, our belief, and our faith, our confidence that it's true. And that he who says it is good. And it helps us to keep making those choices based on what we believe. What do you typically act on? And when it comes to the mission, we looked in Matthew 28. The baton handing over ceremony was go and make disciples, the mission. Do we act on belief or do we act on doubt? The Bible says the harvest is plentiful. Or do we say, well, I'm not entirely sure about that. That's not my experience. Act on belief is, no, God said the harvest is plentiful. I'm going to act on that belief. I'm going to go and share my faith. This person doesn't look interested in God. But you can't judge a book by its cover. I'm going to invite them anyway. I'm going to act on my belief. Do we make those kind of decisions? In our own spiritual growth, do we act on belief or doubt? Do we think, well, I can't overcome this thing. It's just too big. Or do we say, actually, nothing is impossible for God. I have the Holy Spirit refining me from inside out. I am going to get help. I am going to be vulnerable. I am going to find somebody who can help me in this particular area. Do we act on belief? Now, with the fellowship with church, do we act on belief or doubt? Say, wow, this fellowship, these are the people of God. These are the sons and daughters of the living God, filled with the Holy Spirit. What an incredible group of people to be with. How amazing is I get to be with this group of people? Or do we say, some of them are a bit weird. And I have a hard time with that person. So I'm going to avoid them in a fellowship. Do we act on belief or do we act on doubt? We've got to ask ourselves. And if you're visiting with us today, finding out about Jesus and the life he calls us to, are you going to act on belief or act on doubt? The very fact that you came here today is an act, you're acting on belief. Let me commend you for that. Let me also encourage you, take the next step. Delve into the Bible. Find out what it's going to say. See, I don't know anybody who knows the Bible. Ask the person who brought you along. They may have secretly never told you they know the Bible, but I bet they do. All right? Amen. Let's act on our belief. I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. That is one of the most encouraging scriptures in the entire Bible for me, who feels like I'm always battling to overcome my unbelief. I do believe, but help me overcome my unbelief. A small amount of belief, if acted upon, can unleash the power of God and change the world. Thank you very much.
You can tell he went to Imperial College, amen. Highly analytical. It's great to hear a minister share his doubts, amen. And I think it just reflects what we're all like, you know what I mean? I know one thing I've been studying over a while is trying to connect preachers with their lifestyle. And I've found many, certainly on YouTube, difficult to connect with because I sense a lack of honesty about their own lives. But it's great to hear just that kind of wrestling that we all face often. And in very specific areas, I know that we looked at some, I mean, Paul mentioned some very specific areas. The first, something to do with health and the mission and spiritual growth. And I do share those struggles. I think often I also struggle with knowing what the outcome is supposed to look like. Because sometimes we think, I'm sick, I'll have faith, I'll pray, and I'll get better. That's the kind of graph that some of us draw, and it doesn't always turn out that way. And then you go back and question, did I really believe then? Because I thought I did. But it didn't produce the result I thought it would produce. And that's another one to really to grow in. And then you question your own faith and you struggle. But I think the great thing is, and I think the important thing for me is just really understanding our destiny is heaven. Who knows what this earth will produce? We do know that Christians don't glide across the surface of the earth with all problems solved. Every one of us here will probably stop and think, we have great challenges. Could be marriage, great challenges in my marriage, great challenges with my children. I've prayed these prayers. I've fought through this belief. It's not turning out the way I'd hoped it would turn out. And that we doubt and we struggle. The lesson I learned today was to act on my belief and really go back to that. Maybe it doesn't happen the first time. Maybe the outcome is not what I was hoping for. But what I can do, I can choose to act on my belief. God knows what he has planned. I do not really know. So let me encourage you all to act on our belief. I know for me, a big area for me is to share my faith and not be judgmental. I don't know what the area is for you. But I encourage us to pick an area where we struggle and just say, I'm going to act on what I believe, not what I doubt. Amen. Thank you, Paul. And let's really put that into practice and have a great week.